Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
We are on the journey of spiritual formation. So we carry on this morning. Now I was thinking about, okay, spiritual formation. I guess it's called a formation because, as mentioned several times before, we are being formed, yeah? We are being formed, but we are being formed by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. And just a reminder that the Holy Spirit is a gift from our Father, from Heavenly Father. So we can ask for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will fill us and will help us. There is no point doing that without the Holy Spirit, because we'll not do it. We'll not be able to do it, isn't it? So it's not meant for us to do it in our own strength. It is meant to do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about community so that we are better together than all on our own. And I'm going to take quite a few scriptures, but we'll see how many we go through. But the main scripture is from the 1 Corinthians. So it's when Paul talks about the church as the body of Christ. And are you okay to have the first scripture up, please, Kay? So it's from 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. So some of you might want to read it along in the Bible. We've got it up here. So, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. In his wisdom, God has arranged every part of the body precisely according to his plan. I really love this scripture. I was thinking about, well, supposed to be July, supposed to be barbecue season, yep. And we are actually going to have a youth barbecue on Tuesday. Sorry, you're not invited, unless you're a youth. But it's really, when you think about the barbecues, isn't it? Some of you who do barbecue, I do the old-fashioned with coal. So I burn the barbecue, I burn the coal, I leave it all on a heap, isn't it, until it all catches fire. And then I spread it out slightly, but not too much so that you don't isolate the coal. Because what happens? The fire goes out, isn't it? Sadly, it has happened to me as well. So, and I like this analogy because I think that's exactly how the body of Christ works. When we're all together, we can all be inspired. We can all be passionate about Jesus. But when we isolate ourselves, we can easily lose faith. We can easily lose the fire. And I think that's probably a reason why God asks us to be all a body. Now, remember Jesus said he created us in his own image. And God was in relationship, wasn't he, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit from the start. And so he's created us as well to be in relationship with each other. We cannot manage on our own. I know some people might think, yes, we can. But actually, if you look back, the times maybe when you did isolate yourself, you weren't part of a body, really. You might have struggled much more than when you are part of a body and you can actually share each other's life with others. What I find really important about these scriptures as well, remember when we talk about the body of Christ, we talk about every age group. So from little Erica there to Jeff and Liz, you know, everybody is part of the body of Christ. Nobody is excluded. And I find that's really important. When you look around, who would I have met at work? Who would I have met in my neighborhood? Some of you go to the gym. Who here would you have met at the gym? Now, God is really funny. And sometimes I wonder, you know, how he kind of collects people to come together. You know, because the thing is, the body of Christ, we are not all in the same life situations. We're in different seasons. Yeah, we live in different areas, but God felt that it was the right thing to do. It says, in his wisdom, he put us all together. So it's by God's design that we are all together. It's by God's design. So he has thought about each and every one of us and has thought about that we fit into this church, into this body here. Yeah. So some of us might need to think about that, because sometimes we might think, I'm just here by accident. If I'm not here, I'm not being missed. You know, it doesn't matter whether I come or not, whether I be part of a small group or not. But actually, God has thought about each and every one of you. And I know when Karen was preaching 2 weeks ago or so, yeah, Karen, you were talking about service, isn't it? And it's really important, because God put us together because he knows who we are, and he knows best how we can support each other, encourage one another. I wanted us to go to the scripture in John 15. I love that scripture. I know we were talking about the kind of the parts above in the prayer meeting, but I love this one. So Jesus is talking about it. So you have, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So he's talking to his disciples, talking to us as a church today. And I have appointed and placed and purposefully planted you so that you would go and bear fruit. So Jesus has purposefully planted us. Now, for some of us, it meant that we had to move down here. Like for us, as you know, 5 years ago almost, we've been moved down here. And I'm sure that was God who moved us here. Some of you maybe have lived in this area for a long time, but God moved you into this body of Christ recently. Again, he has purposefully planted you for this time. Yeah, it's a season where we all need to be together here. Sometimes it's quite difficult, isn't it, to live with one another. And I think that's why it's really important to remember that he has put us together perfectly. In Ephesians 4, it says, he put us together to fit perfectly together. And so that we all have our special work to do, so that as a whole body, we can be healthy and growing and be full of love. I remember that sometimes, especially when I had difficult times, challenging time in my life, at a time away in Birmingham, how much the body of Christ really helped and supported. Sometimes it's not on a Sunday morning, I have to say. Sometimes it happens in the week, isn't it? When people think about you, when people encourage you, when people pray with you, when people just share life with you. And that's all part of the body of Christ. Now, if I was on my own, I don't even know whether I would be here, actually. So that's how the impact can be from the body, you know, to bring people and to carry them on their journey. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. I remember many years ago, I listened to a message, and the message was talking about people that are like sandpaper. And it obviously stuck with me. I can't remember what the situation was. But I thought that was quite funny, actually, because if you look around, you probably don't point. But there will be people that are a bit of like sandpaper, that are maybe irritating us or annoying us, or that we find difficult. Completely normal, nothing unusual. But what it says here, it says it's a good thing, because it helps us shape character. And the thing is, when everything is smooth and everything is easy, we're not going to be challenged, isn't it? So we're not going to be stretched, we're not going to be growing. So we need one another to do that, so that we can become more like Jesus. I remember one of the preachings, I think it was still at the college, you know, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. I sometimes pray, Lord, give me patience, give me kindness. And I remember, I think it was Pastor Jonathan Dyke who said, but fruit doesn't fall from heaven, it's been grown. So what God does is put you in a situation where your kindness can grow or your patience can grow. So when we think about this fruit of the Spirit, we need each other to make these grow. And in our small group on Monday, I can't remember how we got to that place, but one lady said, you know, God challenged me to be grateful for the difficult people in my life. And I was challenged as well, because I don't think I said thank you. But maybe that's something for us to do. Because sometimes, by not our choosing, I agree, people are in our lives that we might find difficult to love, to be kind to, or to be patient with. But then to ask God, help me. Help me so that I can actually be shaped to become more like Jesus and to be part of the body of Christ. So that's, I thought that was quite interesting. But what I would like to do, why don't you say to your neighbor or ask your neighbor, or you, sandpaper? Maybe you need to do it at the back. Yes. Are you sandpaper? If you are, thank you, Jesus, for being in my life. Yes, thank you. But really important. So when we are part of the body of Christ, we have responsibilities towards each other. You know, the scripture in Ephesians that I read before, it says we need each other to grow. So yes, we might be sandpaper to each other, but we actually need each other to grow. We cannot grow in isolation. It's just something that we need to remember. Now, I want us to look at the next part of the 1 Corinthians, okay, if that's okay. And that's now from the scriptures 15 to 21. So we carry on. Imagine the foot saying, I am not a hand, so I don't belong to the body. To say such a thing would not mean that the foot was not part of the body. Or suppose the ear said, I'm not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. Would that mean that the ear ceased to be part of the body? If the body consisted only of an eye, it would not be able to hear. And if the whole body was an ear, how would it be able to smell anything? But in his wisdom, God arranged every part of the body precisely according to his plan. If everyone was alike, there would be no body. Yet the facts are clear. We are made of many parts, but have only one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. Now, I was wondering, so what does that mean to be a hand or a foot in the body? And I have to say, I let my imagination flow a little bit. So I was thinking, oh, a foot. Maybe a foot is somebody who is like steady, who is not easily moved, maybe who's leading others. Maybe a hand could be somebody who likes helping people or maybe holding people together, maybe comforting people. But also maybe somebody that God uses to heal others. And then a mouth could be somebody who affirms others and lifts people up, but maybe also prophesies. And then I thought about an ear, could be somebody who likes listening to people, but also maybe listens to God and is in tune with the Holy Spirit. I haven't thought about any other of the body parts, but as you can imagine, so it doesn't really specify in the Bible, and I guess that's probably good, isn't it? When I was younger, I am the middle child, so I've got a younger sister and an older brother, and I remember for a very long time, I wanted to be like my sister. So my sister was quite confident, like very popular in school, especially secondary school, and I always felt I wanted to be her rather than me. I was quite shy, a bit of an outsider probably. And one of the things that God showed me is that I can actually only be the part that he wants me to be if I'm me, how he created me to be. And I think sometimes we've got the same problem, haven't we? We see somebody and I wish I was more like this person, or I could do what this person does. That's a conversation the body has, isn't it? I rather want to be an eye than a foot. Who wants to be a hair? You know, but God is very clear. He's created us and he knows us, and we can be the best we can be as part of the body if we are ourselves. I remember the baptism. Some of you went to the baptism, I guess. Amazing testimonies, really amazing. And I remember one of the young people said, God works in unique ways in each of us. So there's no point comparing, yeah? Because God works uniquely and he knows exactly what he needs to do in each and out of lives. And that's why we are different parts, because we need each other. If we were the same, how boring. It would be very different. Now, what I would like us to do together is just have a think about, am I happy the way I am? Am I content, maybe the better word, with who am I in this moment, in this season of life? Remember we said that God put us together by his design? Yeah, so it's not actually me choosing as such. It's me following God, isn't it? God's leading. And what I thought, we could read Ephesians chapter 1 together. And what this is about is all about, who am I in Jesus? Some of us need to know that today and hear that today. Because the true fact is, we all belong. We might not feel like it. We might feel different, we might feel disconnected, but that's all lies of the enemies. And we know the enemy, that's how the enemy works, isn't it? Bringing lies, bringing doubts. But the word, that's what we want to align to, isn't it? We want to speak the word with faith and believe the word, even though our feelings don't follow it. So what I would like us to do, those who can stand, I would like you to stand, and I would like us to read Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, if you don't mind, Kay. I personalized it, and I just want us to do that, so just speak that over your life. Sorry, if we can go to Ephesians chapter 1, 4 and 5. That is, I guess, is the scripture after that. Yeah. No. Okay, so what I might do is I might read it and then... thank you. It's a bit of a different version than I've got because I made it personalized. Let's start from this one, 4 and 5. Yes, so I've personalized it. So some are probably quick and can personalize it, but I'm going to read it personal because it's for me, for you, yeah? So even before God made the world, he loved me and chose me. So read it aloud and speak it over your life. He loved me and chose me in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt me into his own family by bringing me to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Amen. Speak it with faith. He loved me. He chose me. He adopted me, and it gave him great pleasure. Amen. Amen. So we are talking about us. That's how God sees us, and that's how God put us together. You may be seated again. We all belong together. So if some mornings or some days you feel, I'm all by myself, there's nobody there who cares about me, remember, this is a lie, yeah? This is the enemy's lies. We all belong. We are part. If you're not here, you're missed. Yeah, you are missed. Whether you talk to one person or 20 people, doesn't matter. You're missed. When you don't turn up to your small group, you are missed. So it's really important for us to realize that we're not just sitting together on a Sunday morning to worship and hear the word. We are here for each other, actually, and to grow in our faith. Thank you, Kay. Sorry for the confusion. Now, the next part I wanted us to do is carry on with the scripture in 1 Corinthians. Yeah. So these are the verses 21 to 26. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. Although we know the head is actually Jesus, isn't it? So he wouldn't really say that. Not sure why that's in there. Quite the opposite. For even what appear to be the weaker part of the body are the indispensable. We take care even of those parts we think to be less important. Those parts we do not wish to display publicly, we treat with modesty, while other parts need no special consideration. In the body of Christ, God has drawn together diverse members and has given greater honor to those who have never in the past been honored. He wants no division in the body, but for all to be regarded as important and to have concern for one another. When one suffers, every other part shares in that suffering. When one member is honored, all can rejoice together with him or her. I really love this part. I love this part because I know how it is to be weak, to feel that you're not important, yeah? And I really love it because here Paul says these are the parts that are treated even with more concern, with more modesty, with more honor. So I don't know where you are at this time, this season. Do you feel that you're less honored, maybe? Do you feel less important at this moment? Do you feel that you're not really looked at or seen? We are actually supposed to be taking care of you, particularly in this time. And I pray that as a body of Christ, we can do that, that we can follow that up. We were praying in the prayer meeting and it says something about, well, one of the scripture that was shared is about, let's not just be hearer of the word, but let's be doers. So this is a word that we need to act on, isn't it? It's not just to hear and say, oh, how a lovely message, but actually we need to do something with it because that's what God is asking us to do. We are all part of the body, not because of what we do, but because of who we are. So that's really important. So even if there is a season where, I remember when my kids were still young, one of my friends from Switzerland actually reminded me of a scripture in Isaiah saying, you know, whilst your kids are small, that's your focus, that's your priority. But seasons change. And I would encourage those of you who are in a season when maybe you are having to prioritize other things in life, looking after your little ones, looking after elderly, looking after maybe your parents, looking after, you know, whatever it might be, that it's okay to do that. Because God knows the seasons of our lives. And it's important that we walk in the season. Remember, we don't want to be the eye, if God has called us to be the foot, because that will be completely wrong, and it will kind of be very exhausting for us to try and be something else and somebody else, isn't it? Now, I wanted us to finish with a bit of a challenge. Can we have 1 John 4:19, please? We all know the scripture, so I'm going to start. We love each other because he loved us first. Talking about God, how he loved us. And I know most of us know how much God loves us, but I just wanted to remind us all that God loved the world so much, that includes all of us, that he gave his one and only son for us to have life, to be forgiven. That was his love. Love is not just good talking, yeah? Love is actually doing something with it. And the challenge starts with verse 20. So if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, How can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? How much do you love your fellow believers? How much do I love my fellow believers? I remember, I think it was in lockdown, when God really put on my heart, I have to pray to love his body, his church. And I would love to give you the story behind it, but I can't actually remember. But I just knew that God said, you have to pray for that love. If we don't love each other, we actually say we don't love God. That's what it says here, isn't it, in John? And John knew Jesus very well, was very close to Jesus, isn't it? How much do we love one another? And how is that seen in our relationship with one another? I'm going to talk to those who are easily offended, and I know who you are. This is something that really can be a challenge, but it destroys the body. And if you are struggling with that, I can only say we've got the Holy Spirit helping to forgive and to let go. And sometimes things that have happened, I know, are very deep. But I can only say that God can give us the grace to restore relationships and to forgive. Let's not wait for other people to make the first steps. Let's make the first steps ourselves. I wanted us to finish with the scripture from 1 Corinthians. I know that some of you are on the Bible app, so you've probably read that 1 Corinthians every day a little bit. I love the Passion's translation, actually. And I wanted us to read that together. Are you okay to do that, Kay? I give you lots of work to do, sorry. So this is 1 Corinthians 13, and I hope it's the Passion Translation. If not, I'm going to read it from my phone, because it just sounds a little bit different, and sometimes it's good to hear it differently. Do you want me to... Pardon me? 14:4-7 is, have we got it on Passion? Okay, let me read it from the Passion Translation from my phone. Sorry about that. So, love is patient, love is kind. I just want, as you listen, maybe you think about the person who has offended you or the people who have offended you. Maybe you think about a person that you really struggle to love. We are talking about believers. So we're not talking about people who don't know yet Jesus today. Or do I know that this is something that God talks about as well in the Bible, isn't it? But today we are focusing on the body of Christ. And I think it's really important that we do that. So love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And I'm just realizing, not Passion Translation. You've probably all picked it up before me. Love is large and incredibly patient. That's Passion now, you can hear it. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. So we celebrate, isn't it? When the foot is doing great, we celebrate with the foot and we're not jealous. Love does not brag about one's own achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame or disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. And that's how God wants us to love one another in the body of Christ. Now, who is not challenged by that? It's quite a bit of a challenge, isn't it? We are in a moment going to have the youth and the children joining us, because I really felt that we are a church. We are one body. The Bible doesn't say that the children are a different body or the youth is a different body. We are all together as a body. And I know, obviously, I do have my own children. I do work with the youth now as well. And I often feel that there is a bit of a disconnect. And I think that's really sad. And whatever the reason is for that, I don't know. But I thought today we're going to make a change. And as I said, we have responsibilities. So we can make the first steps, can't we? You know, we can make an effort in loving our teenagers, who often, I know, are at the back. We are the ones who can start loving our children who are running around. This is something that we can do. I'm not saying everybody now go and do it, but I know some of us could really easily do it, but we don't. And because we are one body, we need to look out for each other. Some of you need to overcome a few things this morning, and I want us to talk about that. Some of you need to overcome pride. Pride tells us that we can do it all by ourselves. We don't need each other. Or pride says, I don't like you. I don't need you. But that's not what the Bible says, isn't it? The Bible says very clearly we need each other. And we need each other being different. Yeah, don't be like me. It's enough for me to be me. You be you. That's really important. And that's what you needed. Some of us need to also step out of isolation. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. Because the thing is, when you're in isolation, the devil can just take you. And you won't even notice sometimes. You know, you stop believing the lies. You move away from God. Sometimes it's guilt that might lead you back. But actually, God wants us to be part of a body. Not just coming in and out once in a while, showing your face. Be part, be connected. There are many small groups going on this in the week at the moment, and there will be more in September again. There's places you can become part of by just serving, as Karen mentioned a few weeks ago. But step out of the isolation. Some of us might need to pray the same prayer I prayed. Give me the love for the church. Because some of us really struggle with that. And God will answer that prayer, I'm telling you. He will give us a love for the body, a love for those people that we struggle to love. And more importantly, remember, we do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. Kemi, are you okay to get the youth? Because I think Denise went to get the children. We are going to all make a big circle as much as we can, and we are all, including Anne, we're all going to be part of that circle. Yeah? Mm-hmm. I know you. I know. We're going to have words about that afterwards. I know. You're going to talk to me about that afterwards. But I want all of us, even little Leo, to be part of that circle, because we're all together. And what I would like us to do, so some of you can already prepare your minds, I would like us to pray together for love in our body, for love for one another, and for unity. Because love brings unity. Now, it might be cheesy, but it's actually not cheesy. It's actually what the Bible tells us to do, and I really want us to do that together. Are we all up for it? Yeah? Okay, for those of you who weren't in the main service, we have been talking about the body of Christ, and we have been talking that everyone here is part of the body. Every single one. Yeah? So look around. This is all part. You are all part of the body. Yeah? You're all part of the body. And it says in the Bible that we need to love one another and look out for each other. And you know, one of the things that came to my mind this morning as we were worshiping, that was shared, a picture that was shared a while ago in Horsham, is that, yes, we are the body of Christ, but we are also the bride of Jesus. And you know what else? We are an army as well. And if some of you know a bit more about armies than me, myself, but you know, when you are in an army, you have to work together, isn't it? If you're not working together, it could be a disaster, isn't it? So this morning, I really want us to pray that God helps us love one another, no matter how old we are or how young we are. I know there are two children who are happy to pray, and I'm going to start with the children. Is there anybody in the youth who... No? Okay, that's fine. Adults, I'm going to ask some adults as well to pray. So I'm going to start with the children, and then if I can have maybe two adults, is that all right? Yeah? Okay. Sorry for those who feel awkward. It's not going to be too long. Did you say you're going to pray? Okay.
In Jesus' name... Lord, thank you for all the grown-ups here that have gathered around with us. Thank you for our families and our loved ones. Those who are not here with us today, they can still hear us with our prayers from God. Jesus, thank you for creating this beautiful world and the testimonies that have been given to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God, keep this church away from any bad people in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Any adults? Any adults?
Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Father, that you've lavished your love upon us. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for us. And I thank you that we are chosen. You've chosen each one of us, that we are your body. And I pray that you would unite us. I pray for a release of your love, that love would flow through us, that we will not easily be offended, that we will walk in forgiveness. And I pray that more and more that we will demonstrate that love to one another, that we will make time for one another. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move upon each one of us. I pray for fresh anointing upon us and that you just bind us together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, one more prayer. Thank you.
Father, we thank you because before you left, you said, make them one as we are one. We repeat that same request here today. We ask, make us one as you and the Father are one. Bind us with a cord of love that cannot be broken. We empty ourselves and we make room for your Spirit. And we ask, oh God, that the fruit of the Spirit will be in abundance in our lives as we walk in love. Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We surrender all. You say, by loving one another, will the world know that we are your disciples? We hunger and we thirst for you. And we say, let our life be an expression of your love, and that your name will be glorified in this house. Father, Lord, we speak and we receive because you said you've given us the grace and all that pertaineth to life and godliness. We decree this afternoon that this is our portion and our heritage in you, in Jesus' name. From the least amongst us, O God, to the oldest, we ask for an encounter today that you, O God, will be exalted. Many, O God, who are not aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that your voice will be loud and clear and give us the grace to obey. Thank you, Father, because before we ask, you've heard. And we give you all the glory because we're all growing from grace to grace. Take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. I think you can all find a seat now again. But let's remember, we are not just hearers of the word, but we also doers. Yes, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.